The best in the West in association with Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union is your trusted local financial partner. Access your money 24/7 from anywhere in the world with an Access Credit Union current account and enjoy all the benefits while keeping your money local. We support local communities. We support you.
Close your eyes and pull like a dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham Canty, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome to the Star Sport Podcast. My name is Jack McCarran of the Southern Star and I'm joined as always by Star Sport editor Kieran McCarty. On today's podcast we're chatting to Cork Camogie star Orla Cronin. The Enniskeen woman is fast becoming one of Cork's most important players and she spoke to Kieran a little earlier on about her rise to the senior setup, her ambitions for her future in a Cork jersey and her love of baking. We're also going to reflect on a cracking last 16 in Best of the West, our search for West Cork's greatest ever sports person. The best in the West is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union is your trusted local financial partner. Access your money 24/7 from anywhere in the world with an Access Credit Union current account and enjoy all the benefits while keeping your money local. Now, Kieran, before we hear from Orla, we have to talk about this fantastic spell of weather that we've been having. Have you been out enjoying the fine weather? How's the tan coming along? It looks quite good to me. I can see you obviously over this Zoom call, but maybe tell the people who are listening how your tan is coming along.
The tan is coming along quite well. It's like the farmer's tan in the arm, but I think everybody gets that. I was painting the weekend and I was saying to you, this was off air earlier, I burned the back of my cast and the back of my knee, which I still don't know how I achieved that because I was painting for hours and the rest of it was fine, but maybe just the back of my knees probably don't see too much sun. So it was kind of an odd one, but besides that, just enjoying the good weather because, as we all know, the Irish summers can be short and sweet and rather hot in that short spell. So no, it was nice to get out and about. What about yourself, Jack? You must be struggling with the hair, to be honest. Like, I took the jump last week and I got the haircut, kind of a lockdown haircut, and the relief that I felt was incredible. And we went for a walk yesterday on Bank Holiday Monday, and it was hot. It was so hot, there wasn't a puff of air. And I actually thought of you, because I said, if I didn't cut my hair now, I said I'd be sweltering in the heat. I said, how is Jack surviving with that head of hair on him? So talk to me, Jack. I'm actually concerned for you. Are you dehydrated? Are you under pressure, that head of hair?
Well, I probably am under a bit of pressure, but I did come to a decision over this past weekend that I'm actually going to just leave it grow long. My excuse throughout this whole situation has been, oh yeah, but sure, the barbers aren't open, what can you do, I'll get it cut once the barbers reopen. But it's literally grown on me. I'm starting to like the man I see in the mirror, and every person I met over the last few days who I knew from before the lockdown, they all said to me, "Jesus, Jack, I kind of like your hair." So I was like, this is confirmation of what I'd been thinking already. So yeah, I'm going to keep the hair going. I was up cycling last weekend and obviously the hair and the sweat doesn't go hand in hand. So I've been wearing a bandana like John McEnroe did back on the Wimbledon courts in the 1980s. So that kind of keeps the hair and sweat out of my eyes. So yeah, no plans to get it cut. I'm just going to plow on as is for the foreseeable future. I hope that answers your question sufficiently, Kieran.
It's an impressive head of hair, and to be honest, I can't think of any other West Cork person off the top of my head that has hair to rival yours now. And I know we've the best in the West going on, but maybe down the line we could do something with the best haircut in West Cork or the wildest haircut in West Cork, because Jack, kind of, you're definitely kind of, you'd be in the conversation. You would definitely be in the conversation for that.
Yeah, I would like to think so. So if there's anyone out there listening who has a friend or a colleague who they also think has a barnet worth talking about, send us in a picture of your friend or colleague's barnet and we'll judge it live on air next week. I'll give it a rank out of 10, see if it qualifies to be in consideration for Barnet of the Year 2021. But enough about my haircut, Kieran. You were speaking to Camogie star Orla Cronin recently, and we've been carrying her recipes in the Southern Star throughout the COVID lockdown. So not only is she one of the best Camogie players in Cork and in Ireland, she's also a talented baker. I know you mentioned to her that she might consider releasing her own cookbook one day. So tell us a little bit about your chat with Orla, the multi-talented Orla Cronin.
Yeah, Orla from Inniskeen. Orla was only 6 years when she came to the Cork Senior Camogie panel back in 2012, which is about 8 years ago now. And she's only 24 now, so that's an already incredible longevity for someone so young. And she's four All-Irelands to her name. And it was good to catch up with her. Like you mentioned there, Orla was very good to help us out with a couple of recipes come back a few weeks ago when the lockdown was just starting. And I touched base with a couple of local sports people to ask for their Netflix recommendations, and Orla got to me, and she goes, she's not kind of huge into watching TV or Netflix, but she loves baking. And I said, oh, that sounds interesting. So she sent me on a recipe. It was her healthy banana bread recipe. That was the first one, and it went down so well that for the next couple of weeks, Orla, there was chicken and chickpea curry, there was her oat pancakes, her blueberry tarts, just lovely, healthy, great recipes. And when I was chatting to Orla, kind of, she said it is a passion of hers. And I suppose as an elite athlete, an inter-county camogie player, you have to kind of, I suppose, be very strict, you could say, in what you eat, and kind of take so much control over your diet to kind of get a peek into her world about kind of what it's like as an inter-county player, what you can eat, what you can't eat, and so on, was quite interesting. So to catch up with Orla, we talked about that, and even just her own camogie career. Like I said, she's 24, and she started off this year so well, Jack. She scored 9 points in both the wins against Waterford and Kilkenny in the Division 1 of the National Camogie League. And I'd actually talked to Paddy Murray earlier in the year, and he was saying it's now time for Orla to kind of start flourishing. He rates her as probably the best centre forward in the game at the moment, and he included hurlers in that. He said she just has it all in terms of movement and so on. So she's a player who's definitely on the up. She's definitely improving. There's a lot more to come. So it was a great chat. It was a wide-ranging chat from her heroes to kind of where she sees herself, the fact that there's more to come. So good stuff again from Orla. We're delighted to be joined on the podcast this week by Cork Carbery and Inniskeen Camogie star Orla Cronin. Welcome to the podcast, Orla.
Thanks a million, Kieran. Yeah, sure, look, delighted to be here.
Before we check Camogie, I just have to say a big thank you to you, Orla, because you, a couple of weeks back there, we ran a series of your recipes in the Southern Star, and it proved a huge hit. I'm just going to go through there. You had healthy banana bread, you had chicken and chickpea curry, oat pancakes, rhubarb crumble, and the ladies in the office, and even the fellas in the office, they went down a treat. And I know from just chatting to people around West Cork, they really enjoyed it as well. So big thank you for everyone in the Star for your recipes. And have you always had an interest in kind of cooking and baking, and where did that come from?
Yeah, I suppose I did. I guess I probably really got into it once I started college. You kind of, obviously, you're not depending on your mother to cook for you there. So, and then I guess with sport, then, you know, you're always kind of looking into your diet and things like that. And the last few years, yeah, I suppose I just used to try out, you know, different recipes. And obviously there's so many, you know, so much advice out there now on the right diet to have during training and, you know, what's going to benefit you the most. So I guess I just kind of was like looking into lots of different recipes, be it online or through cookbooks or anything like that. And then kind of used to go off my own, you know, I think that's the thing with cooking as well. You can kind of throw in your own twist to it in a lot of ways. So yeah, like, I mean, I'd love to have probably more time. I guess it was brilliant there during, you know, the first few weeks when things were, where everyone had a bit more time for themselves, that I was able to do that. So, you know, it was great fun. But yeah, I was laughing, like, even the other day I met my neighbour and she was saying how you know, she had a bone to pick with me, and I said, you know, what was that for? And then she was like, I made all those recipes, you know, from the Star or whatever. And she said she was eating them, but she loved them. So it was kind of nice to hear that as well. So, you know, like maybe down the line, all right, you'd like to put more time into it. But it's a nice kind of hobby to have anyway, I think.
And like you said there, I suppose over the years being involved with the Cork Senior Panel, there's so much focus on eating the right foods and kind of eating healthy. Kind of for you, what's that like then? Kind of, are you ever tempted to kind of go for that kind of packet of biscuits in the corner or that bar of chocolate? Like, how do you balance up kind of treating yourself with eating the right food?
Yeah, like that's definitely something I'd say a lot of athletes have to think about. And I'd say I've been a few years trying to, you know, figure out what's the best way to kind of manage, you know, my eating or what I need. But, you know, a lot of people can probably restrict themselves a lot. But when you're training a lot, you need to be fueling up, and it's kind of fueling with the right foods. And, you know, especially, I guess, for me as well, the few injuries I've had. Now, they've never been major, thank God. But, like, even just for coming back from injury as well, you know, fueling right is so important. Like, I don't say no to that stuff, you know, all the time. You know, you have to include that in your diet as well. You know, I think there shouldn't be really any restriction there. But it's just, I guess, you want to be eating, you know, mostly whole foods and, you know, things that are going to fuel your training properly. So, I mean, it's great, really, when you're training, you can eat more, maybe, than a lot of other people. But, yeah, no, I mean, there's a good balance there as well. You need to treat yourself too.
You never know, the corner cookbook could be out and time on the shelves for Christmas this year. We'll have to watch this space. But I'm going to rewind back to the start of this year before the whole COVID-19 pandemic kicked in. And Cork, you had a good start to the league, and you had a good win over Waterford in the first game. And that was a game where you scored 9 points or that. And I remember talking to Paddy Murray after that game, the Cork manager. And he was telling me, kind of, for the year ahead, he goes, I think it's time for Orla to start flourishing. And I'm going to read you a quote too, and what he said. He said, her play is exceptional. As a centre forward, she has the best movement that I've ever seen in that position. And I include hurlers in that. If anyone went to just watch her movement during the game, it's top drawer. She has the ability to lead this team more this year as well. When you hear praise like that from Paddy Murray, what's that like?
Yeah, sure, it's great. Like, I mean, happy to know that I'm doing some, you know, I'm doing the right thing anyway. But like, sure, I mean, I've been there now, what is it, like nearly 7 years or something like that. And, you know, I guess I've been playing centre forward as well that whole time. So it's definitely a role that you can kind of adapt and develop into. So I guess as well around, you know, under Paddy Murray and like say all the coaches, Kevin and that we've had in the past few years, you know, they've definitely helped me improve my game. And, you know, making those sort of runs to create space, or, you know, making runs to get on another phase of play and setting up. And then even this year, I suppose, I was nearly finding myself in more attacking, you know, finishing kind of plays, that kind of thing. So it was like, it was a nice start to the year. We had a few we had some change as well in management as well this year, and coaching and things. So it's always nice to get new voices in there as well. That can help you improve your game even more. It was a funny start to the year, all right, in that we only had 2 games. We had so many games cancelled with the weather even before the COVID-19 thing came in. So, like, it's disappointing, I suppose, in one way, because we probably felt we were going well and, you know, we could have possibly reached the league final again. But yeah, look, I mean, we can't rule that out either. You know, there may be something at the end of the year, who knows. But yeah, it was a great start to the year, and it was great. I guess there was more younger players coming up as well, and, you know, a few of the girls that have been there in the previous years not around. So it was kind of a nice start to the league for us, all right.
You mentioned there, kind of, it's some of the younger players coming up, the likes, I suppose, Kieran Sullivan of Newcestown, and Paddy's kind of made a point of bringing on some younger players into the panel this year, with the likes of Aoife Murray retiring and so on. And so now, all of a sudden, Orla, kind of, even though you're only 24, I think, is it? You're now one of the kind of the senior players in the panel, because you first came on the panel in 2012, I think it was, and you were only 16. So we're now in 2020. So was that just 8 or 9 years, I think, you've been there. Mm-hmm. So do you feel that responsibility yourself that you're now seen as one of the senior members and that you're there to help those new players coming on board?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I suppose you kind of get that. It's not really a title, but you nearly kind of feel that responsibility yourself anyway, you know. I'd say that would probably be the same for the likes of Laura Tracy and Amy O'Connor, obviously. You know, the three of us have probably been around the same time, and I guess we learned a lot from the players before us, you know, say like the Gemma, Aoife, or Lakota. You know, we've learned a lot from them over the years, and I guess we've kind of probably transitioned into almost into their boots, you know, are close enough to it, you know. So I think the years kind of seem to go by fast, and all of a sudden you find yourself, you know, being one of the or older, maybe more experienced players on the team. So I think it probably comes naturally to most of us to kind of step up and lead, you know, when we're asked that. So we do have a responsibility, all right, to now show those new players coming in, you know, how they can develop and improve as well as the seasons go along.
When you go back to the start, so go back to 2012 when you were 16 and Paddy Murray brought you in and you were looking up at the likes of the Jimmies and the Aoife Murrays and so on. What was it like coming on board that Cork senior panel as someone so young? I think you were still in secondary school at the time, so you were really quite new to it all.
Yeah, like when I look back at it now, it was definitely daunting. I was probably fierce shy and you know, quite quiet back then. Was just playing, well, I was playing Mayo Cork, all right, under 16 and probably minor. But obviously, you know, when Paddy gave me a call, I was like, you know, definitely wanted to give it a go. But I do remember being fierce nervous going to my first training session because it was halfway through the summer as well, you know, it was after the minor championship or under 16 championship or something. So that summer really was just a whole new kind of experience, you know, introduction to a whole different intense level of training and, you know, playing with all these, you know, great names that you would have heard or would have watched probably a few years previous. So yeah, it was a massive learning curve that year for me. But you know, I think I actually got to go to, yeah, we went to the All-Ireland final that year against Wexford, and that was, you know, unbelievable, like probably experience for me. So then, yeah, the following year in 2013, I was focusing probably more in school that year, and I guess, you know, time commitments and everything, I did have to kind of weigh it up. And I had the minor, you know, Cork set up to focus on as well as club. We won the junior county that year as well. So I took that year out, and then the following year in 2014, I went back after my leaving cert. And then I suppose I haven't looked back from there, you know, playing with Cork. But definitely that kind of introduction to it for me in 2012, I think, set a good foundation for me, and you know, I knew what was expected then to try and make it onto the team. So
you've really found your feet at intercounty level too, kind of four All-Ireland titles, player of the match in an All-Ireland final. Like I said, now you're 24 now, you're kind of coming towards your prime years over the next couple of years. Do you really feel that the best of Orla Cronin is to come, that over the next couple of years Cork fans will see the very best version of Orla?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think I've so much more to work on, and I think I'm building kind of every year, you know. You know, I still feel highly motivated I even feel like I've so much more in myself, you know, to do. So I would say, yeah, hopefully, you know, in the next few years and, you know, however many years, I'll still hopefully be able to play for that. I'll keep improving every year, you know. I'm really enjoying it, like, you know, so it's yeah, it's enjoyable and it's exciting. Obviously, you know, probably like every other athlete, they're probably disappointed of this break, you know, a bit, but we can't do anything about that. And I guess, you know, we have to just set those goals and, you know, eventually once sport returns, we can get back to doing what we love, you know, and trying to improve on those potentials that we have, hopefully.
We were chatting obviously earlier just about you as a centre forward. But would you look at centre forwards in other codes, kind of from hurling to Gaelic football or even in Camogie itself, and look at their movement and what they do to try and improve your game? And is there anyone that you try and kind of take little bits off, kind of glean little bits of information off?
I'd look at hurlers a lot, I suppose, you know, like I guess in a way when I was growing up, you know, my heroes were probably the male teams, you know, and I was looking at the likes of, you know, Sean O'Halfine and that, you know, that Cork team back in 2004-05. So a lot of those players I would have been looking at growing up. And even now, you know, if I look at the current players, you know, the likes of TJ Reid or, you know, any of those Richie Hogan kind of centre forward players, you know, or Noel McGrath, I suppose, especially for me, up in Tip, those players stand out for me as half forward or, you know, midfielders. And I would probably take a lot of, you know, inspiration off those kind of players as well, their movement, you know, how they're able to get away from players, that kind of thing. Like, I do love the whole technical side of, you know, looking into, you know, how you can perform at your best or little things to beat your defender. So yeah, I would definitely watch those hurling games, you know, very closely. You know, same with football. I think that movement in football can be very much translated into our own game, you know. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, there's so much more running in football, but I mean, you have to do as much, if not more, in camogie and in hurling, in any other sport to create that space. So yeah, like, I definitely would look at other players and athletes and everything, you know, to see where I can bring that into my own game as well.
And I suppose getting the right balance between skill and work rate is very important too, because especially around the middle eight there, like, it does get hot and heavy, it does get very frantic. So is that something you found over the last couple of years, kind of even fitness-wise and work rate-wise, that you've had to up your game kind of as camogie gets faster?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I always remember Breed would say to us, you know, if you're not getting on the ball, you know, at least the very least you can do is, you know, work and run, and, you know, those chances will kind of break for you, you know. You know, they will come. And I guess there was a few years there where, you know, I might have felt a bit frustrated, wasn't getting on maybe some ball because, you know, teams maybe like to avoid kind of centre and keep you away from that kind of area or whatever. But, you know, with that as well, you kind of have to look into your mindset and, you know, are you going to remain composed, because you might only get very little opportunity in the game to get on the ball. And, you know, once you do get on it, then you do have to remain focused, and, you know, you can't let that build up in your head as well. So yeah, like, I've had different experiences there, you know, with games where, you know, some days you might be on it straight away, another day, you know, there may not be much coming your way. But, you know, as long as you can kind of stay in the moment and, you know, don't let any negative thoughts get into your head, you know, you will do something positive. And like you said there, you know, it's like the work rate or just the skill, you know, when you're not on the ball, just trying to do any little thing to, you know, keep you in touch in the game and keep, you know, helping out the players around you as well. You know, that all kind of, you know, it helps your mindset and everything during the game as well.
You mentioned about kind of heroes growing up. You didn't have to look too far, Orla. Your brother Stephen, a Cork minor under 21, I think, and he was at Aaron's Own as well. Hurling, was that such a big part of your house growing up and in the scheme?
Yeah, massive. It was huge, really. Like, my dad, both my parents are Kilbritton people, so my dad was, you know, a mad Kilbritton hurler, would have played for them for years, and then he managed the intermediates hurling team in 95 and around that kind of era. So when I was kind of born, when they won the county, and I came around that year. So I don't know, like, sure, since I've been growing up anyway, all I know, all I remember really is going to games with my dad, and like that, Stephen as well. He's a few years older than me, so when I was, you know, maybe only 10 or 11, he was probably playing with the minor team. And yeah, I just have, you know, fierce good memories of going to his matches and his games with dad and with my family. And, you know, there was always chat about it at home. And, you know, any time I could go outside and puck with Stephen, I'd be delighted, you know. I was probably like the annoying younger sister, you know, like asking him to go out and, you know, show me how to do this, show me how to do that. But it definitely rubbed off on me because I was obsessed, you know. And I'd say every day coming home from school, I was pucking up against the wall. And, like, we've got kind of, you know, the gable end here is probably a higher wall, and then behind us there's a lower one. And I'd say I used to be you know, nearly making match scenarios in my head there. So since I was young, so yeah, I was just really into it and loved it. And that has definitely come from my parents and, you know, true Stephen playing as well. But, you know, as a family as a whole, we're all very into it, you know.
When you're looking, I suppose, on Bellarine in the scheme, kind of, it's a hotbed for sport. Phil Healy, Ireland's fastest woman, John Caulfield, obviously Cork City legend, and he's there since the mid-80s. Mary's have done great stuff in the football over the years. But for you, it was always hurling, kind of, and hurling and camogie. Did you ever play any other sports, kind of, did try kind of football and so on? And what was it eventually that you decided to settle on camogie?
Yeah, so I played football. Like, when I was younger, like, I played hurling with the boys. I also played football with the boys as well. Same in school, I would have played, you know, football at Shkina School and camogie. But I suppose there was no ladies football team around here, and, you know, I didn't decide to venture, you know, to Donnie's or to Oliver Plunkett's or anywhere like that. I used to do disco dancing as well when I was younger, and you know, I used to play a bit of tennis. There used to be tennis down here in the local club as well. So I guess at the time I felt like I probably had a lot, you know, there was probably a lot of sports I was already doing. So I never got into the football side of things, or soccer. But I mean, when I was in school then, sure, I was like playing hockey as well, and, you know, loved playing all sorts of sports. So I don't know, I guess time-wise in the end, it just seemed that camogie was kind of the one that I wanted to stay playing at full-time, you know.
It's great too, like you mentioned there, you're involved in all these different sports. And as a young kid growing up, and for any kid around West Cork, it's great to try out all the different sports before you settle on one, kind of. Like you said, there was hockey, football, kind of disco dancing, kind of all that. So, like, that's good for kids just to kind of try as much as they can when they're younger before they kind of focus on one.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I have great memories, you know, of going to all those kind of different clubs and activities, you know. Just try them out, you know, it's great. And like, even in school, like PE wise, you know, you see there's probably a lot of girls in particular that don't want to do PE, and I used to always wonder why, because I used to think it was, you know, the best class of the week, just to get out and, you know, get moving, do some sort of thing. So yeah, like, I think it's really important. And like, you know, there's, even when you look at all the sports in West Cork alone and all these athletes that we have, you know, covering a range of different sports, you know, it's definitely, you'll find something that, you know, you could get really good at and you could, you know, commit to during your whole life and you love it. So yeah, like, definitely encourage everyone to try them out, you know.
We can't not talk about Inniskeen Camogie Club, and then whenever we talk about Orla and Inniskeen Camogie Club, the name Dermot Curtin always pops up. He's a great man for stories about you over the years. And like, people like Dermot and people involved in Inniskeen Camogie Club, how important have they been in your development, in your rise up through the years?
Yeah, like, Dermot's been unreal, sure. He was nearly like second dad to me there, you know, growing up with all these games, the amount of games he's brought me to, you know. But yeah, like, he has done, you know, wonders for Inniskeen Camogie, really. You know, there wouldn't be a match played without him. So there's a load, and like, he's probably sparked the interest of camogie as well in the community, you know, because in the last few years, you know, I'd say the numbers that we get underage is brilliant. And, you know, we've had a few good under 14, 16 minor teams coming through. So it's all down to people like him, and, you know, be it parents of girls that are playing or just, you know, avid camogie or, you know, hurling supporters that get involved. It's brilliant, you know, to keep the club going. So yeah, I've been very lucky, you know. I've had very good coaches growing up and, you know, good advice from everyone. And, you know, you kind of appreciate that more as you go on, I feel. And you kind of look back and, you know, you kind of realise, you know, I wouldn't be here really without the help of those around the community and, you know, from your family at home and things like that. So, yeah, it's brilliant.
I suppose, Inniskeen, you've had a good few battles with Newcestown down over the years. You even go back to last year's county intermediate final. How close do you think Inniskeen are to taking that next step and moving up a level?
I mean, we're definitely close. Like, I mean, it's disappointing. We probably well, we are very disappointed with ourselves, I suppose, after losing that final and, you know, losing a few other games as well. But, you know, we've good players, as I said, you know, coming through. I think every year is definitely a learning curve for us. And, you know, we're not far off it at all. Like Noosa saying, obviously, they're a good team and, you know, they're deserving winners. But, yeah, like, I think who knows when we're going to be able to have a crack at it now again. But, no, we're not far off at all. So, you know, we'll keep working. And I think every year we learn something, you know, a bit more about ourselves. And, yeah, we'll see where we go now from there.
We're running a competition at the moment called Best in the West. It's our search for West Cork's greatest sports person. And there's been a shortlist of 16 and it's been whittled down as you move towards the quarterfinals and so on. What if I to ask you, Orla, who your kind of favourite West Cork sports star was over the years? Someone who maybe inspired you, some kind of a role model or hero you looked up to. Would anyone stick out?
Yeah, well, definitely. I probably have two standing out to me anyway, with Jenny O'Leary and Phil Healy. Like, for Jenny anyway, sure. As I said, when I came on that year there in 2012, she was probably one of the girls that I first met, and, you know, it was always really nice to talk to, and, you know, very just admirable, you know, sports player. Like, I think she showed, you know, some development over the years, you know, when she was playing as well. And I suppose she was a free taker, she was a forward, she was fast, you know, very strong, and, you know, she was the kind of player that I looked up to. So definitely her, you know, would stand out to me. And then for my neighbour here at home, Phil Healy, I think what she's done in the last few years has been unbelievable, you know, and she's now like Ireland's fastest woman and is, you know, breaking these records every time, you know, we see it. So her dedication to training, and, you know, you'd follow her there on Twitter and Instagram, and, you know, the training just looks unreal. And yeah, she's, you know, you'd be proud to have someone like her within your community. So, yeah, she's definitely a standout for me as well.
I suppose Phil is probably lost to the Inniskeen Camogie team too. You could just picture her at wing back or wing forward, bombing up and down the line, couldn't you?
I know. We could do with her, geez.
Like, you mentioned there to Jennifer O'Leary. Kind of what an incredible role model she's been for, I suppose, young GAA players and all GAA players in West Cork. Kind of 8 All-Stars, 4 All-Ireland. She's one of the greatest Camogie players I think Cork in the game has ever seen. And like you mentioned there, she was a role model for you growing up as well. Kind of what stands out to you about Jennifer as a Camogie player? What made her so good?
Yeah, I think Jenny, like, always wanted to better herself, you know. You know, I don't think maybe there was a game she didn't feel she went well, or if there was a training session, you know, she would always want to, you know, make it right or whatever, improve it. You know, she was every year, like, she's come back, I felt she wanted to, you know, get better and better. And I think that kind of attitude, you know, stood out to me. You know, on the pitch, like, I think that game in 2014, she got, you know, that really important goal against Kilkenny in the final that probably made the difference for us winning. And I think when we look back at stats now, maybe the following year or something, she touched maybe something like 5 balls or something in that whole 60 minutes. And, you know, when you think about it, you wouldn't have thought it was that little. But the amount of ground she covered, you know, the amount of work she got through, and then, you know, kind of what I was saying earlier, how you may not touch the ball as much, but when you do, you kind of have to make a count. And, you know, that's what Jenny did. Like, she got the ball and, you know, she, you know, took on a load of players and scored that vital goal. So it's that kind of, you know, headstrong mentality and, you know, never kind of giving up and, you know, taking those moments when they present to you that would definitely stand out to me, you know, from Jenny as a player. That's kind of leadership there for you, you know. So, yeah, unreal.
Hopefully we'll get to see some G action this year. We don't know, I suppose. It's all up in the air. But are you hopeful of getting back out in the Camogie field and maybe towards the end of the year? What are your own thoughts on what's going on?
Yeah, it's very hard to know. I think everyone's a bit hearing different things. I kind of feel, you know, you'd be hoping they you know, keep this virus, you know, under control. And I suppose there's probably a lot more potential for something happening if that is the case. But I guess it all depends on the next month. You know, I think the next month will tell us a lot. But I am hopeful. I mean, I think if there was a way that they could, you know, kind of make a safe return to sport, I mean, I would definitely love to, you know, but obviously only if it's safe to do so. But yeah, I would be hopeful that there may be something. Now, it obviously would be very different, but I guess, I don't know really if people are thinking the same, but I would definitely like to be playing something anyway at some stage in the year, you know.
Hopefully we'll see you back in the Camogie fields before the year's out, leading in a scheme, Carberry and Camogie on the hopefully glory. So, Orla, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, and we'll chat to you again soon.
Perfect. Thanks for having me again.
The best in the West, in association with Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union is your trusted local financial partner. Access your money 24/7 from anywhere in the world with an Access Credit Union current account and enjoy all the benefits while keeping your money local. We support local communities. We support you.
Welcome back to the Star Sport Podcast. And we're going to focus our minds now on Best in the West, our search for West Cork's greatest ever sports person. And on Bank Holiday Monday, just past, we held the final tie in the round of 16. It saw Phil Healy overcoming West Cork's greatest ever jockey, Noel Feely, to advance to the quarterfinals. And what we're going to do now is look back on the last 16, pick out some categories, some of the eye catchers, market movers, as they would say in the betting game. So, Kieran, do you want to just maybe, before we look back, let's look forward briefly, and we're going to do a deeper dive into the quarterfinals later in the week, but maybe just give us a rundown of the quarterfinal ties.
So we're down to the last eight, Jack, and the quarterfinals kick off this Friday, which is June 5th, and they'll run through from that Friday through the next Monday. So we have Bill Daly against Graham Kente on Friday. Then on Saturday, it's Keith Cronin up against Jennifer O'Leary. Then on Sunday, Paul O'Donovan against Niall Cahillane, which could be possibly the tie of the round. And then on Monday, we have David Hart against Phil Healy. So eight really, really talented sports people left in the hunt for Best in the West, Jack.
Absolutely. And obviously, with anything like this, there are going to be some big names that get knocked out early doors. Who were some of the big names that you thought would have gone further in the competition? I'm thinking about the likes of Conor Howrahan, who was beaten in one of the ties of the round in the last 16, and we're going to pick out our tie of the round in a second. But which of the athletes that didn't make it through the round of 16 were you most, not disappointed in, but most surprised by?
I suppose you're looking at Conor Howrahan, like you mentioned there. He lost out to Keith Cronin in their last 16 tie, and it was a tie with the most amount of votes as well. It went right down to the wire. Obviously, Keith Cronin is a very popular guy in West Cork, kind of from Ballylickey, four-time British rally champion. But he was up against Conor Horan, who's a Premier League footballer, an Irish international with 17 caps to his name, the only West Cork man in the Premier League, our greatest ever soccer export. And Conor was someone who I thought could go far in this competition, but Cronin mobilised his followers, and it was an epic clash, to be honest with you. Another kind of interesting one was Jennifer O'Leary against Nolly Cleary. We mentioned on last week's podcast, Jack, that was a 50-50. That was so tight, and it proved to be very, very tight. Jennifer got through that 52% to 48%, but Nolly just as easily had won that. So two very tight ones. But to see Conor get knocked out and Nolly get knocked out, you lost two big names right there.
I think it's interesting what you said about Keith beating Conor there and how his supporters were mobilised, for lack of a better word, because another of the minority or niche sports is obviously road bowling, and Bill Daly came through his tie quite comfortably in the end. And I think there's something in that the smaller, more minority sports, their followers, their supporters, their members are almost, I wouldn't say more passionate than the supporters of other sport, but they'll really get behind their own because they'll probably know them personally in some stretches. Like the soccer community in West Cork, there's probably very few of them have ever met Conor Howerton, so they probably don't have that massive connection. But you can imagine rally fans across the region and across the country, because we saw rally fans voting from every corner of Ireland and even from the UK. They'll probably all know Keith and have met Keith on the circuit, so they really got behind their man, similar to how the road bowling community, both in West Cork and in the north, got behind Bill Daly.
Yeah, sometimes it's kind of it's like out of sight, out of mind. When you look at Conor Horan, like he left Bendon when he was 16 and he's been across in England since then. If you look at Monday's last 16 tie, Noel Feely against Phil Healy, Phil was a convincing winner of that, and Noel Feely from Coppin, obviously West Cork's greatest ever jockey, but he's been gone from here for a long, long time, even though he does come back to visit a lot. So kind of sometimes when our best sports people probably aren't kind of displaying their wares here at home, sometimes you forget about what they've achieved and what they've done. And I think that could be the case with Conor Horan and Noel Feely. And that's why they were two of the kind of higher profile casualties of the first round. And I was talking to Jamie Wall for a piece for this week's Star, and like he was making the point, was Conor Horan is a Premier League footballer. He said he didn't even get through to the last eight. He said kind of it just shows the calibre of sports people here in West Cork. So there is that kind of sense that the likes of Noel Feely and Conor Horan, the fact that they are living and working abroad, that maybe people back here at home, while they are aware of what they've achieved, they mightn't be kind of have that as close link to some of those, to let's say Keith Cronin or a Graham Henty, for example, or a Phil Healy from Benin, who were all very aware of what she's achieved.
Or maybe people just don't like soccer because John Caulfield was also a victim of not gaining much support in his last 16 ties. So we thought he might mobilise the Cork City faithful or the West Cork soccer faithful, but it wasn't to be for him. You mentioned the Keith Cronin and Conor Howerton clash having well over 1,000 votes. How is the pickup been generally? From what I can see, people are getting behind this and they're really getting behind their favourites.
100%. So it's kind of like this is going to go on for a couple of weeks, which is great, you know, kind of. And there's a nice gap in between each round, so it almost gives the different troops who are behind there the support for their favourite. It gives them a chance to kind of re-energise and get ready for the next round. So we have a nice little gap now for the quarterfinals kick off on Friday, and it's definitely generating debate. And I've still got a couple of tweets this weekend and a couple of messages of how come this person wasn't there, how come that person wasn't there. But like, these lists are objective, you know, kind of. I'm still very, very happy with the shortlist of 16 that we've picked. And you can see from our eight quarterfinalists, each and every one of them is a potential winner, and you can make a justifiable case for each and every one of them as well. From Bill Daly, who's a former two-time world road bowling champion, Graham Kenty, the man that captain Cork to the 2010 All-Ireland, Keith Cronin, a rallying legend, Jennifer O'Leary, an eight-time Camogie All-Star, Paul O'Donovan, the greatest Irish roar of all time, Niall Cahillane, one of the most iconic Cork footballers there was, one of the greatest defenders the game has ever seen, David Hart, probably still the world's best hockey goal, was voted after 2 years in a row, and then you had Healy, fastest woman in Ireland, and as coach Shane McCormack told us last week as well, the best Irish sprinter of all time. So that's the eight who've made it through. So to pick a winner from this eight, Jack, is going to be quite tough. And that's what I'm looking forward to the quarterfinals this weekend, just to see how the voting goes and which sports get behind their own star, because it's been whittled down now. Kind of like we've one road bowler, one rally driver, one rower, one hockey player, three left in the GA with a couple of GA casualties in the last 16, and we've an athletic star. So kind of there's room here now, there's time for sports to really back their person and drive them on to the semi-final.
Which of the remaining eight has to do better, Kieran? Obviously they all won their last 16 ties, so you would say how can they do any better than that? But were there any that were closer contests than you may have expected, or that didn't garner as much public support as you may have predicted?
If I had to say one who probably needs more to come in behind him, I'd actually say Paul O'Donovan, which is kind of quite surprising, considering Olympic silver medalist, four-time world champion, the greatest Irish rower there was. But Paul beat John Caulfield quite convincingly, but the votes weren't that high. And I just looked, Paul O'Donovan is taking on Niall Cahillane of Castlehaven in their quarter-final. And Niall Cahillane will get big support. Castlehaven are great supporters of him. And even the wider GA community will come in behind Niall Cahillane. So Paul O'Donovan really needs the rowing community to row in behind him on Sunday in their quarter-final. I think, Jack, what could happen here is the fact that rowing, I don't want to call it a minority sport or a niche sport, but it mightn't have the following, obviously, that GAA has, especially here in West Cork, where Gaelic football is king. And even though rowing has done so much to put West Cork on the map, obviously it's not at the level that Gaelic football is in terms of people involved and reach and so on. So I think for people who do think that Paul O'Donovan is the best in the West, they need to come out on Sunday and they need to vote for him, because he's a tough task up against Niall Cahillane. If I had to pick one, I think Paul O'Donovan is someone who needs his troops to be mobilised and needs, I suppose, the wider West Cork community, if they do think he's the best in the West, they need him to come in behind him.
And before we wrap up this segment, Kieran, of the eight, who is the one to watch? Who surprised you by how well they done in the last 16, how much support they managed to drum up, and they may have even sprung a shock? Just to give some context, on our first preview of Best in the West, both yourself, myself and Jerm McCarthy all put Paul O'Donovan forward as the outright favourite. Has your opinion changed over the course of the last 16?
If I'm looking at how the voting hand out in the last, I think the big one this Saturday when Keith Cronin takes on Jennifer O'Leary, their two last 16 ties were the highest voting. Keith Cronin's winner of Cogan 100 votes, and Jennifer O'Leary, not clearly, was a cracker. That was in around 1100, and they were the biggest polls. So it'll be interesting to see who emerges from their quarter final on Saturday. And whoever comes out of that would be in with a good shout, I think, kind of getting to the final. So it could be interesting. That could be, from the Keith Cronin, Jennifer O'Leary, you're possibly looking at one of the finalists emerging from there. I know the followers of Graham Canty and Bill Daly would have something to say about that. So I think we'll learn a lot more this weekend, Jack, in terms of voting trends and who gets behind who. Like I said, we have a couple of days out before it kicks off, so people from the different sports, if you're a Niall Cahillane fan, if you're a Phil Healy fan, you know when their quarterfinal is on, so you have to vote for them. And like I've been saying on social media the last couple of days, after you vote, retweet the vote and ask for your friends and followers to vote for your favourites. Because we're celebrating the best in West Cork here, we're celebrating their sport and achievements. And like I said, the eight left now are all potential winners in their own right, and they're all deserving winners in their own right as well. So to answer your question, has my opinion changed? It probably has a small bit. If you're looking kind of outside of Twitter polls, who is the best in the West? Like Paul O'Donovan would 100% be right up there at the top of it. But what we look at here is it's not a popularity contest, but you're looking for your sports almost to kind of push you. What we saw in the first round was the motorsport community 100% came in behind and Keith Cronin, and we saw the local GA community and the Camogie side come in behind Jennifer O'Leary. So Paul O'Donovan needs to row behind him. Bill Healy needs the athletics community in West Cork and beyond to come in behind her. And someone I haven't actually mentioned is David Hart. David Hart is obviously, he's abroad. He plays hockey with Kempong over in the Netherlands, and he's been living abroad for some time now. And he's someone too that probably needs to kind of the West Cork hockey community and the wider kind of hockey community to kind of push him as well. So he's qualified against Phil Healy, would be very interesting on Monday. That's David Hart up against Phil Healy. And I think what's intriguing, Jack, it's just the different sports up against each other. Kind of, we've Paul O'Donovan, a skibbering rower, up against a legendary Castlehaven footballer, Niall Cahillane. when before could you ever see Paul O'Donovan versus Ike Hallan on Twitter or in the Southern Star? But that's the battle that I'm looking forward to on Sunday as well. So, but like I said, it's going to be a very interesting weekend of quarterfinal ties, and we'll be left with the final four next Tuesday morning. And your guess is as good as mine right now to who the identity of that final four will be.
And just to double down on your mention for David Hart there, I thought it was very impressive for a man from Kinsale to overcome the bearer representative. So that caught my eye, so I'll be keeping an eye on his tie with Phil Healy on Monday. I think that should be a cracker. Coming up next, we're going to preview this week's Southern Star.
The best in the West in association with Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union is your trusted local financial partner. Access your money 24/7 from anywhere in the world with an Access Credit Union current account and enjoy all the benefits while keeping your money local. We support local communities. We support you.
Welcome back to the Star Sport Podcast. And before we wrap up this episode, we're going to preview what's to come in this Thursday's Southern Star Sports section. So here, and take it away. What do readers have to look forward to?
Plenty coming up this week, Jack, as per usual. We have an interview with Kinsale golfer John Murphy, who won a big American prize last weekend. One of the prizes for it, he gets to play in the PGA Tour, so it's a good interview with John Murphy in this week's Southern Star. We obviously heard from Orla Cronin earlier, so I was kind of a special look at Orla Cronin in this week's sports section. I talked to Cork Camogie statistician Niall Collins and Cork Camogie manager Paddy Murray to break down what makes Orla Cronin such an impressive and important and influential player for Cork. Like we said, she's 24. She's going to come into her prime over the next couple of years. So we've broken down Orla's game into the different components and to show what her strengths are. And it's backed up by stats. So it's quite interesting to see how she's developed over the years and how she's become such an important figure for the Cork Camogie team. As well as that, a couple of local cool camps have been cancelled, Jack, obviously with COVID-19 and restrictions, and local GA clubs have made the decision to kind of pull the plug on their camps this year, kind of citing kind of was the restrictions that are put in place as a reason for that. Also, good news for sports fans in West Cork is that road bowling is making a return next week. So with the latest on that, it's starting off with underage championships. And the second part of our women in road bowling kind of three-part feature is in this Thursday's Southern Star. And we've a lot more as well. So while we're picking up the Star, as per usual, Jack, it's packed with good local sport feeds.
And if you can't make it to the shops on Thursday, don't forget, you can also pick up a copy of the Southern Star online. Just go to www.southernstar.ie/e-paper. There, that's the right one. And you can read the Southern Star for less than €2 per week. Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast. We'll be back later in the week with a preview of the Best in the West quarterfinals. If you enjoy these shows, please make sure to rate, review and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, Acast, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to the show.